Firstborn, or Chosen. The biblical story of the last plague has a distinctly supernatural quality, in that all the firstborn and only the firstborn were killed on the night of the plague. An earthquake that destroys only the firstborn is inconceivable, because events can never attain that degree of coincidence. No credit should be given to such a record. Either the story of the last plague, in its canonized form, is a fiction, or it conceals a corruption of the text. Before proclaiming the whole a strange tale interpolated later, it would be wise to inquire whether or not the incredible part alone is corrupted. It may be that the firstborn stands for some other word. From Isaiah chapter 43 verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, which makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters." Chapter 20, "I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen." In the book of Exodus, it is said that Moses was commanded, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn." From Exodus chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. The chosen are here called firstborn. If Israel was the firstborn, revenge was to be taken against Egypt by the death of its firstborn. But if Israel was the chosen, then revenge was to be taken against Egypt by the death of its chosen. Israel, my chosen, is Israel Bechori, or Bechori. Israel, my firstborn, is Israel Bechori. It is the first root which was supposed to determine the relation between God and his people. Therefore, quote, "At midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt." Exodus chapter 12, verse 29, must be read, quote, "all the select of Egypt," as one would say, "all the flower of Egypt," or "all the strength of Egypt." "Israel is my chosen. I shall let fall all the chosen of Egypt." Natural death would usually choose the weak, the sick, the old. The earthquake is different. The walls fall upon the strong and the weak alike. Actually, the Midrashim says that, quote, "as many as 9/10 of the inhabitants have perished," end quote. In Psalm 135, my idea is illustrated by the use of both roots, where two words of the same root would have been expected. Quote, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure, who smote the firstborn of Egypt." In Psalm 78, the history of Exodus is told once more. From Psalm 78, verse 43, "how he had wrought his signs in Egypt," and 51, "and smote all the firstborn in Egypt," 52, "but made his own people to go forth," 56, "yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God," 31, "the wrath of God came upon them, and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel." Were the firstborn destroyed when the wrath was turned against Egypt, and were the chosen destroyed when the wrath was turned against Israel? From Amos chapter 4 verse 10, "I have sent among you the pestilence, plague, after the manner of Egypt. Your young men, chosen, have I slain." In the days of Raash, commotion, during the reign of Uzziah, "the select and the flower of the Jewish people shall perish as perish the chosen, the strength of Egypt," was the prophecy of Amos. It is possible that the king's firstborn died on the night of the upheaval. The death of the prince could have been an outward reason for changing the text. The intrinsic reason lies in the same source that interrupted the story of the Exodus, the most exciting place, after the houses of the Egyptians had crumbled, with these sentences from Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. "Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine." 13. "And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem." Jeremiah testifies to the fact that burnt offerings and sacrifices were not ordered on the day Israel left Egypt. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 22, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." This is a contradiction to the text of Exodus chapter 12, verse 43 to chapter 13, verse 16. To free the people from this bondage is the task of Amos, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. From Amos chapter 5, verse 22. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. From 24, but let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. And 25, have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? Revolt and flight. My endeavor has been to find in Egyptian sources some mention of a natural catastrophe. The description of disturbances in the papyrus Ipuwer, when compared with the scriptural narrative, gives a strong impression that both sources relate the very same events. It is therefore only natural to look for mention of revolt among the population, of a flight of wretched slaves from this country visited by disaster, and of a cataclysm in which the pharaoh perished. Although in the mutilated papyrus there is no explicit reference to the Israelites or their leaders, three facts are clearly described as consequences of the upheaval. The population revolted, the wretched or the poor men fled, the king perished under unusual circumstances. If, in addition to the closely parallel description of the plagues, I should try to extract more than these three facts from the papyrus, I should expose myself to the charge that I use the defective condition of the document to support preconceived ideas. But the references to the catastrophe and to the population that rebelled and fled are not ambiguous. Their meaning is clear and not open to misunderstanding. Consequently, when, in the next few paragraphs, I try to uncover additional parallels in certain passages, I do so with restraint. The papyrus is damaged and obscure in many places. If one or another comparison is incomplete or arbitrary, it may add nothing to, but neither does it detract anything from, the fact established here that a sequence of earthquakes and other natural phenomena occurred in Egypt, accompanied by plagues bringing destruction to men, animals, plants, and sources of water. The first omens of an approaching catastrophe brought unrest to the land, and the captives longed to escape to freedom. The papyrus narrates that, quote, men ventured to rebel against the uraeus, the emblem of royal authority, and that magical spells connected with the serpent are divulged, that gold and jewels are fastened on the neck of female slaves, chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, compare with Exodus, chapter 11, verse 2, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. The collapse of stone structures, the dead and wounded in the debris, the fall of many statues of the gods inspired dread and horror. All these were looked upon as the acts of the god of the slaves, from Exodus chapter 12, verse 33. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. The Egyptians were to use still bitterer words. When the calamity was repeated, they no longer expressed anguish and fear of death, but invoked it in passages such as these. From the papyrus, chapter 4, verse 2. Forsooth, great and small say, I wish I might die. From chapter 5, verse 14f. Would that there might be an end of men, no conception, no birth. Oh, that the earth would cease from noise, and tumult be no more. The following lines speak of a population escaping a disaster. Quote, men flee, tents are what they make, like the dwellers of the hills. From Papyrus chapter 10, verse 2. In the book of Exodus, it is said that the Israelites left the country in haste. Exodus chapter 12, verse 33, and could not tarry, chapter 12, verse 39. No doubt flight and living in makeshift tents was shared by the majority of the survivors, as has happened many times since then whenever a violent shock has occurred, devastating cities. A new shock is feared by those who have escaped with their lives. A mixed multitude of Egyptians joined the Israelite slaves and with them hastily made toward the desert, Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. Their first brief stop was at Succoth, chapter 13, verse 20, which in Hebrew means huts. The escaped slaves hurried across the border of the country. By day, a column of smoke went before them in the sky. By night, it was a pillar of fire. From Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. By day, in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And from the papyrus, chapter 7, verse 1. Behold, the fire has mounted up on high. Its burning goes forth against the enemies of the land. The translator adds this remark. Here, the fire is regarded as something disastrous. After the first manifestations of the protracted cataclysm, the Egyptians tried to bring order into the land. They traced the route of the escaped slaves. The wanderers became, quote, entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. Exodus chapter 14, verse 3. They turned to the sea. They stood at Pi Hahiroth. Quote, the Egyptians pursued after them. The Egyptians marched after them. End quote. A hurricane blew all the night, and the sea fled. In a great avalanche of water, quote, the sea returned to his strength, end quote. The Egyptians fled against it. The sea engulfed the chariots and the horsemen, the pharaoh and all his host. The papyrus Ippur, chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, records only that the pharaoh was lost under unusual circumstances, quote, that have never happened before, end quote. The Egyptian wrote his lamentations, and even in the broken lines they are perceptible. Weep, the earth is on every side. Weep.